Good morning, everybody. Hey, whoops. We got a little bit of a volume thing going on here. Let me turn it down a little bit. Good morning. It's, what is today? February 1st? Is that right? Is it already February 1st? Yeah, it is. February 1st, 2006. And my name is Dave Weiner, and this is Morning Coffee Notes. I did it, it's been a while. I don't know why I go through periods of doing them and periods of not doing them. There's no real reason. Just sometimes I feel like talking and other times I don't. Sometimes I feel like writing and I have been writing lately. Let me just take some notes because I'm just thinking of things I want to talk about here. Server stuff. There was something else. I started writing a couple of things. So there's no like rhyme or reason to it, and what I've been doing lately has been more writing than talking. One of the reasons why is I've been wanting to learn WordPress, it's been a very interesting experience for me. One thing is that I have a tool that runs inside of the OPML editor that lets me write in WordPress using the Outliner, which is exactly the same tool that I would use to write in Manila or in the OPML editor, of course. So I basically give up absolutely nothing in terms of, you know, ease of editing and making revisions and stuff. It's basically, you know, type, save. It's more or less just like using a word processor, except the saves go out to my WordPress site, just as they used to go out to my Manila site or would go out wherever. So we sort of have this networking Outliner thing down pretty good. And I've got it wired up to WordPress, and then also it works pretty nicely with movable type. And I could probably be doing more or less exactly what I'm doing with WordPress with basically any blogging tool that works the way those tools work. And of course, Manila, let me just go back and do a little bit of history, okay? Manila didn't start life working the way these tools work, although it did exist and do that style of blogging before either movable type or WordPress existed. So it's not like the idea where it was borrowed from them. It was just more or less not the first thing that it did. The way I initially envisioned a blogging tool was pretty much the way scripting news works. So you sort of flip what I call flip the home page. So at the beginning of a new day, you would sort of say flip the page, and then there would be this clean, sort of brand new empty page. And then you would start typing either, you know, phrases with links that point off-site or point to other documents on your site. We called those stories. And you could do whole paragraphs, or you could do sections where you type in a headline and then indent underneath that and then type in a whole section, and that gets its own permalink. So that was sort of the model for blogging in Manila before we went to the model that the other guys are popularizing, which is basically title, link, description. That's the way I think of it. Maybe we can come up with a better terminology for it. TLD, title, link, description. And the reason we started doing that at Userland actually was Dale Doherty, who was and still is at O'Reilly, was using Manila, and they were thinking about doing, at that time, had not done yet, but were thinking about doing what eventually became the O'Reilly Network. And they were thinking about using a blogging tool, in fact, they were thinking about using Manila, to be the glue, the content management system that basically all of their editors would use. And so that was a feature request that Dale made. So I said to Brent Simmons, who was at that time basically the lead developer on Manila, and Brent now has gone on to do NetNewsWire and other things. He now works at NewsGator. I said, Brent, well, go ahead and give Dale what he wants. And I didn't feel, you know, that was the way I wanted to blog. And I didn't think that really, in some sense, I didn't think that was blogging. I thought that was like story writing, which is part of blogging. And so come full circle now, and here we are in 2006, so that's 7 years later. And now that is by far the most popular, the dominant style of blogging. And that basically, you want to do a blog post, it is a fairly formal process. You go to the browser-based administration or authoring interface for your blogging tool, and you say whatever command you need to say to create a new post, and you give it a title. The link part has become sort of vestigial. The original thought is that you would basically, each one of these posts would point to another story on the web, and that the section, the description part, would be where you would type your comments, you know. And if you look at the RSS feed for the New York Times as being like the prototypical form of that. They certainly, I mean, they're not the only ones. News.com does it very nicely. Basically all the professional publications do that. What they do is they have a title that's usually the headline of the story, the link, which is to the full story, and then the description, which is a sentence or maybe two sentences that give you the gist of the article, which actually I find to be a very efficient way of reading. A lot of people are sticklers for full text posts in RSS feeds, and I could take it or leave it. I mean, basically, I don't prefer one over the other, but I really do like a good description of the article before I go read it. That just helps me skim, and that's what I do. I mean, that's how I decide whether I want to read an article. So in the New York Times, maybe I'll read one or two articles a day, but usually the RSS feed is generally enough to give me an idea, okay, well, this is what happened here, this is what happened here, you know, so-and-so died, and, you know, and this stock went up. But if something catches my eye, like the news.com article today that appeared that said that the Newspaper Publishers Association wants Google, basically, they said search engines, but, you know, we know who they're talking about. They want the search engines to pay them, and I had to read that article just because sort of I'm following that. That's, you know, kind of audacious, but, you know, at the same time, of course, for the first time ever, Google stock took a dive, went down 15%, and which, you know, it's peanuts considering, I mean, it's a lot of dollars, right? But, you know, given the run that stock has had, it's pretty amazing. You know, it doesn't matter much. And I say that as a shareholder. I bought $10,000 worth of Google stock at the IPO, just slightly after the IPO. Paid roughly $100 a share for them, for those shares. And so I've made quite a bit of money in it. Yesterday I lost a fair amount of money, but I'm still way ahead and I'm holding the stock. You know, I mean, my feeling about it is I bought that stock as a hedge. Boy, am I wondering. I bought that stock as a hedge. It was my way of feeling good if Google went up, and I'd feel okay if they went down too, because, you know, mention another thing. You know, there's been a lot of outcry over Google doing the deal with China the way they did it, and it didn't surprise me one bit, and I didn't come out against it. I said it makes perfect sense that they would do that, and I think that's basically everybody catching up with my position on Google, which is I learned a while ago that Google is a business, and Google is going to behave like a business, like a corporation, and a corporation doesn't have a choice there. It really doesn't. I mean, if you look at it, if you look at their, you know, the situation, what could they do? Well, they could say to China, look, we're not going to come into China until you straighten out your act and decide to let your people have unfettered access to the internet. Which is, of course, in a perfect world, is what all of us would like Google to say to them, is that basically, you know, you've got to give your people freedom. The internet isn't about controlling what people can read. You have to let them read whatever they want to read. But Google is a business, and so the way they looked at it is that, well, you know, Microsoft said, okay, and Yahoo said, all right. And so Google has a choice of saying, well, we don't want to be in China, and 20 years from now when China has an economy that's 5 times the size of the U.S. economy, and all of a sudden their asses got kicked. It's no longer getting kicked. It got kicked because they let their two chief competitors go into a market that was growing at a phenomenal rate, and they stayed out on principle. Well, companies can't afford to do that. They just can't. It isn't the way companies work. What would happen is the shareholders probably would say, wait a minute, what did our management just do there? And the stock price would crash. They would say, wait a minute, these people aren't running a business. And what would happen would be they'd have a board meeting. And at the board meeting, they'd ask the CEO, Eric Schmidt, why did you do that? And Eric would say, well, on principle, we have to stand up for freedom of speech and basically, you know, yada, yada, yada. And the board would say, well, thank you very much, Eric. Why don't you go run a nonprofit foundation and we'll hire somebody who understands business to come run Google. And that's absolutely what would happen. And Schmidt knows it, and the board knows it, and the shareholders know it. And anybody that thinks that they run any differently ought to get a clue, because that is not what Google is anymore. Google was at one point that, and it was actually a very good business model for them, because that's how they launched their company. They launched it on this idea that free speech and just being a plain old search engine was just exactly what the users of the internet wanted at the time they came along and did that. It was phenomenally good marketing, and now it's no longer phenomenally good marketing for a company that needs to grow at the rate that Google now needs to grow. Google now needs to be a growth machine. They need to do 20% at least every year growth. Now they're doing, I think, roughly over 100% a year growth. And if they want that stock price to stay up, and they do want that stock price to stay up, they're highly incentivized to keep the stock price growing, in fact. The day that it starts shrinking, if that 15% turns into another 15% today and another 15% tomorrow, and if the trend line is down, things are going to get really bad for Google. Not just bad for Google, they're going to get bad for all of the aftermarket of Google. Everybody is going to feel that one. And nobody kind of wants that to happen yet. It's going to happen at some point. One hopes that at the point when it happens, that there's the next thing, next wave is already going, and we can all hop onto that one. But, well, anyway, who knows? How did I get onto that one? Well, actually, it's kind of related, because Blogger was the pioneer of the title link description thing. And so MovableType and it was copying Blogger, and then WordPress was copying MovableType, and now I'm using WordPress. And so I'm getting very comfortable with the title link description. Of course, the link part's vestigial. We're not using it. The description actually is a whole essay, and the title is the headline of my story. And now I know what's missing. And I get it. I see exactly where we need to go here. And now the question is how to manage the politics of the intersection between the two communities. The two communities being one very, an unknown community to me, which is the WordPress developer community. I think Matt Mullenweg is the leader of that community, and I've met Matt many times, and I admire him, and I like Matt very much. And they just hired a guy named Tony Schneider, who comes to them via via Yahoo, and before that, Oddpost. And I think the world of Tony, and I think he's a great guy. And so I'm optimistic that at least through that channel, and of course, I'm not just a WordPress user, I'm a WordPress.com user. And that I know, I can go to Matt and knock on his door and say, okay, here, this is what I want to do. And in the spirit of open source, I'm now going to tell you, everybody who cares to listen to this, what I want to do. It's really very simple. I like the title link description model. I write in that. I find it very satisfying. It's very good. But it isn't what I want on my homepage. What I want on the homepage of my blog is what I have on Scripting News. If I had those two things in one piece of software, I would be done, and that would be my back end for the foreseeable future. Obviously, I want to hang what I call decorations off that structure. I want to put a blog roll up there. I have a list of all the different things. My category structure, I want to put up there, and I want to edit all of those things in my outliner on my desktop. Hey, if you want to use another tool to edit those things on your desktop, fantastic, okay? And that, of course, suggests that what we need to do is have a, actually, it is just some minor enhancements to the MetaWeblog API, and that's totally within the realm of possibility here. So let's do that. And so whatever way that works, I have a spare computer. I can put a copy of WordPress on there for development purposes if that proves necessary. I would much rather not do that. I much prefer to stay within the realm of the OPML editor, which I completely understand and know, I mean, or understand as well as anybody does, basically. And then have an interface between people who work on the back end, which is the WordPress side of things. I've been through this quite a few times. You know, I've been working, you know, at times worked on both ends of this connection. But this time I really want to stay focused on the authoring experience. And I've, you know, put in my time doing backends, and now it's time for a younger generation. Matt Mullenweg, who's in his early 20s, I'm in my early 50s. So, you know, I'm like this sapling, no, I'm not like a sapling, I'm like this, I'm like an oak tree. And Matt is like this, you know, young tree that's got all this potential, and I'm already providing a fair amount of shade, and, you know, I've got the autumn years to look forward to. But, it's, you know, it all every phase of life has its satisfactions, and my satisfaction is I think I know it all. And Matt's satisfaction is, well, he'll have to tell you what that is. Let him speak for himself. So that's that. That's sort of one of the things I wanted to talk about. Let's see how far into this are we. Ding, ding, ding. 17 minutes. I think this is shaping up as a 25-minute podcast here. Maybe less. You never know. Okay, so now the other thing that happened recently, which actually just in the last couple of days, this is something I want to talk about with the OPML community here. First of all, I had a brunch with Lisa Williams on Sunday. She was out here. I know Lisa from my days in Cambridge. She was one of the people that was at the, and as far as I know, she still is, at the, goes to the Berkman Thursday evening meetings that we had for the basically bootstrapped kind of a neat blogging community in the Cambridge area. And Lisa has also been a discussion leader at a couple of the blogger cons. I can't say enough good things about Lisa. She's also become the sort of secretary of the OPML community. She keeps a blog at blogs.opml.org/thisislisa, which is basically links to all of the developments related to OPML. And I find her blog absolutely invaluable. It saves me a lot of trouble and keeps me informed of things that I might not otherwise be informed of, things that are going on in the OPML community, which is, of course, very dear to my heart. I care very much about what happens in the OPML community. We were talking about, I was talking actually with her about next steps for the community, and we've reached an interesting place just in the last 24 hours or so. I asked Dan McTuff, who is a new member of the community. As far as I know, he popped up a week or two ago, and he's just been enormously productive, informative, inspirational. Just a really he would probably be embarrassed if hearing this me say this, but that's okay. And so he asked a whole bunch of questions on his blog about where we're going with this, and they were very friendly questions, I thought, although I think he was concerned that they may have sounded confrontational, but they weren't. They were very straightforward, clearly, they were strongly worded questions, but I don't mind that. They weren't accusational and confrontational. They were just like requesting information. So I wrote him a couple of fairly long responses on scripting news, and then we began discussing things offline in an email exchange. I asked him to look into a problem that I had seen Casa report a number of times on his blog, that there was a problem with the installation of the backend. I had released some weeks ago, I don't remember exactly how long ago, the software that runs on the backend of the OPML community. It's called the OPML Community Server. And it does things like, manages the blogs and the directories. It has very limited glue. It's very low tech glue for the shared outlines. What the hell is that feature called? God, my brain totally isn't working here. Instant outlines. Duh. Jew. Dave. Anyway, can't believe I didn't. Apparently there was a problem, but Casa would say that there was a problem, but didn't say what the problem was. And I'm uncomfortable asking him questions because I find, honestly, every time I do, I get flamed. And I don't feel that we have a good communication, let's put it that way. And I don't feel there's a way for me to win. But with McTough, we had developed a rapport. And so I said, how about this? Why don't you look into, work with Casa and find out what the problem is. And then tell me what it is. And if there's a bug, I'll fix it. And if there's not a bug, then at least everybody will be up and running and we'll know how to set up servers and we won't be stuck. Well, it worked. I don't know exactly what the problem is. I'm working, still trying to get that out of Dan in terms of, and ultimately I don't think it's going to come from him. I'm going to have to figure this out, puzzle this out myself. My experience was I had a blank machine, okay, a machine that had no software running on it other than the operating system, and I started from scratch and I installed the software on there, and there were problems. So I fixed those problems, deleted the software, reinstalled it until I got a clean install, all right? And every time I made a change, honest to goodness, I checked it and I tested it. I wiped out the software and I reinstalled. And as far as I knew, there wasn't a problem because mine was running, and I followed also, but at the same time tested my instructions. So I followed my instructions to the T, did exactly what they said to do, and I got a good installation out of it. So there's something in there that isn't quite right. But out of it now, this is the positive thing that came out of this, and this is where I want to go, and this relates back to what I talked about with Lisa, is that it's seen, and this, I wanted to do this in a podcast because I wanted to get a chance to talk about this as opposed to having to write something formal and people could infer the wrong tone on it or whatever. I wanted to be able to give a sort of persuasive pitch on this, and that's what I'm doing. So basically what I think can happen here now is that we've got two people, okay, Dan McTough and Casa, who have had successful experiences installing the server software. So what I would like to do is I'd like to start something here. Let's call it a support function for the community, okay? And basically the way it's implemented is that there'll be a page on some site, okay? I don't care which site it's on. And I'll point to that page from the docs, from the OPML docs outline. And I'll say, if you have questions about getting something like this, if you have questions about getting a server installation running, refer to this checklist, okay? And there will be a checklist that's maintained by either Dan or by Casa or by both of them. I think that would be the best way, is that they work together as a team to get this document created. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be the day after tomorrow. It could be 2 weeks from today that this reaches closure, because basically we've had like 2 or 3 months or whatever, and we've been hanging there in limbo, so another 2 weeks, that isn't going to make a difference. So 2 weeks from now, let's say we have a good sort of solid how-to, it's been tested by other people, proven to work, okay? Plus, either a new mail list, probably not a new mail list, just say, when you have a question about this stuff, post a question to the OPML Newbies mail list when you're having a problem, and either Dan or Caso will try to help you with it. So then you know, basically, as a user, that not only here is some tested stuff, and then here are a couple of guys who are going to specialize in helping people get through this, right? And if we can be successful at doing this, now we've got a template for more things like that, okay? Where there may be some other, like, okay, here's a guy who has really worked out all the issues with getting the OPM editor to work with movable type, okay? This isn't something Dave has done, and I, meaning me. I haven't actually, I mean, I've done it. I've got it working with a movable type site, but that isn't going to be the direction that I go in, probably, in all likelihood. You know, you never know. Maybe one day it will become the direction I go in, and then things will change. But for right now, I'm not planning on going there. That's not going to be my shtick. So let's put somebody there who has experience, likes to help people, wants to see the OPML editor thrive in that direction. They like movable type. They like working with six apart. And they also like using the OPML editor, and they want to see that community flourish so that maybe some developers will show up and start adding some bells and whistles. When Six Apart comes out with a new API, they can make sure that the OPML editor supports it. God forbid something should happen where the OPML editor is broken by Six Apart, or the connection is broken by Six Apart, then they have somebody who can work with the people at Six Apart, act as a liaison between the OPML developers, maybe at some point there'll be more than one, okay, and the movable type developers, which there already are plenty of those, and help facilitate the, this is how this stuff eventually works, is that you have people at the intersections of each of the different communities who sort of have feet planted in both communities. So you've got, you know, a movable type guy, you've got a WordPress guy, who knows? I mean, News River, all right? That's a whole other thread, right? And there's going to be all this advocacy going on for reading lists, and, you know, there'll be problems. There's going to be, believe me, there's going to be plenty more stuff happening, okay? If you follow my history as a developer, I leave trails behind me, and ideally when I do that, it would be great if we could leave people there too, right? Who then act as sort of, imagine this were a company like a Microsoft, for example. You know, sometimes, at some point, oh, this goes back a long ways, when Word was the leading edge, and they were really in innovative mode, driving new features, new releases, one every 6 months, every year, very active development. But there's probably more people working on Word today, now that there really isn't a whole lot of motion. There's probably more people working on Word today than there were back then. Probably a lot more people. Why? Because there are a lot more users, and because they have a lot more things that they need to do with the software, a lot more environments they need to run it with. And just, there's all this more activity, and all that activity needs support from people. And so this is a way for some people in each of these areas to make a contribution, because people are generous. You know, I do it myself, and to help other people get going, and then maybe some percentage of those people will find a way to help other people, and this is how community builds. So maybe, just maybe, with this success that we have right now, that there's a way now to create something that makes it more likely, maybe getting a cold, that people coming down the road who now want to set up OPML community servers, well, there's a door to knock on when you got a problem. And there's somebody who might be able to lend a helping hand. And that's the basic idea. So, oh wait, then there's one other idea. Well, maybe I'm going to wait for this one. Maybe we'll do another podcast. And another thing I talked about with Lisa, but I think I will wait for this. Because let's do one idea at a time. So the two kind of big things here today were, let's just summarize, an idea for how WordPress and outlining work together. How outlining can make a very big difference in the model of blogging that the current sort of market leaders, my feeling is the current market leaders are missing a very important feature, and that's the editing environment for the homepage of the blog, okay? By the way, if you want to get an idea about how this might work, go look at Kotke's remaindered links page. That's kind of a prototype too. Look at Scripting News, Look at Kottke's Remaindered Links. And if you can find it, there's he wrote a really interesting, there was a thing in Anil Dash's blog. If you go look for, I think it's, if you look for Anil Dash on Scripting News, in my search, you'll find a link to it. Geez, that might not work. In any case, Kottke explains how he does it now, and God, that's not the way to do it. It's so much more work. I mean, he's kludging it up so that he can convince somehow the, just so he can have control over the order of things. Well, that should be a matter of just moving something. Just move. Move up, move down. That's it. Move this to the top of the list. Move this one down a notch. Should all just be one mouse gesture or one keystroke. Shouldn't be a big deal. There's that. And then there's this sort of template for the Bootstrap for growing the OPML editor community. And those are the things that I'd like to leave you with. Let's see how we do on time. We're 30 minutes. Wow. Okay, perfect. Excellent. So this is Morning Coffee Notes. My name is Dave Weiner, and it's the 1st of February. www.morningcoffeenotes.com, and we'll see you all again real soon, everybody.